السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Today is the first day of the new year, and it is beginning with the blessed day of Jummah, or Friday. As per tradition, we exchange greetings with one another on the commencing of the new year. I am also receiving messages from the members of the Ahmadiyya community with greetings for the new year, and you may be greeting one another also. In the West or in the developed countries, the entire night before the New Year is celebrated with a great hurrah. It is celebrated with drinking alcohol, and it is celebrated by behaving wildly. And they begin the New Year with fireworks. This is how the New Year is initiated. In fact, the Muslim countries have also started to welcome the New Year in a similar fashion. Subsequently, yesterday, while the news was reporting on the firework display in Dubai, it was also showing footage of a nearby 63-story high building on fire, which had turned into a heap of ash. However, the news continued to report that this would have no effect on the celebration. And despite the fact that the building was on fire, the destruction can continue to go on, while according to the program, the fireworks will go ahead and celebrations will take place in front of or nearby to where the fire was. Although the condition of the majority of the Muslim countries is very pitiable, however, these worldly celebrations are being done by those countries who have a lot of money. Even if the fire did not take place, even then, the current circumstances necessitate that these rich Muslim countries should have announced that they will not waste their money on such futile extravagances, instead that they would help the Muslims who are in a state of suffering. However, not only have they forgotten their own teachings, but their condition is such that only a few days ago it was reported that one of the biggest hotels in Dubai has put up the world's most expensive Christmas tree, which is worth $11 million. and so these have become the priorities of the wealthy Muslim countries. But by the grace of God the Almighty, the majority of Ahmadis spent their night engaged in prayer, or they woke up early in the morning and offered these prerogatory prayers, and with this began the new year. They performed the nafil, the voluntary prayers. Many places offered the tahajjud prayer in congregation, but despite this, we are still considered as non-Muslims in the eyes of these Muslims. While those who behave wildly, waste money, and make special arrangements for celebrating other people's religious customs are considered as Muslims. In any case, by the grace of God the Almighty, we are Muslims, and we do not require anyone's certification for this. Indeed, the certification we desire is from God the Almighty alone, and that is by becoming true Muslims in the sight of Allah the Almighty. In order to attain this, however, it is not enough to simply offer individual or congregational tahajjud on the first day of the new year alone, or to give sadqah, that is alms, or perform any other good deed, and feel that this will make us worthy of gaining the pleasure of God the Almighty. There is no doubt that this is a good deed that can make one garner the grace of God the Almighty, but only when it is done with regularity. God Almighty desires from His servants to perform good deeds consistently. God Almighty desires for His servant to consistently adhere to His commandments and carry out good or virtuous deeds. One needs to bring about a revolutionary change in his or her heart. Only then will God the Almighty be pleased. There is a need to bring about a pious reformation within our heart. A good deed which only lasts for a day or two is not a good deed. Therefore, we have to carefully consider which kinds of actions and which kinds of practices we need to adopt or should adopt, which will enable us to attain the pleasure of God the Almighty. In relation to this, I have selected the various guidance afforded to us by the one who has been sent by God the Almighty in this era, in order to reform the world today, which he relayed to his community on various occasions, so that we can constantly and consistently strive to earn the pleasure of God the Almighty. These words will not only make the first day of the year full of blessings and bounties and grace, but in fact it will make the 12 months and all 365 days of the year truly blessed. And we can become the recipients of God the Almighty's grace. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wa salam, on whom be peace, states, "Now look at the state of the world. Our Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showed through his example that his life and his death are all for God the Almighty. As for the Muslims in the world today, if one of them is asked if he is a Muslim, he will respond by uttering, 'Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah.' However, the life principles of the one he professes to follow were for the sake of God, but the Muslims of today live and die for the world. Though they say, 'La ilaha illallah,' however, instead of God the Almighty, they live for the world, right up to the throes of death. The world remains the object of his love and desire. How can he then say that he follows the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "This matter must be pondered over, and do not consider it something trivial. It is not easy to be a Muslim. Do not be content until you have instilled the obedience of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the Islamic model in you. If you are known as a Muslim without practicing obedience, then your faith is a mere shell. If you do not show obedience to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not follow his example, and do not adhere to the teachings of the Holy Quran. Do not suffice on mere shell and epithets. That is not the way of the wise. If you do not show obedience, then faith is merely a shell. A Muslim asked a Jew to become a Muslim. The Jew replied, do not be content simply by a name. The Jew went on to say, I called my son Khalid, but buried him before evening fell. Khalid means one who has a long life and lives forever. However, the name itself did not grant him life, and his life did not even extend beyond one day. Thus, seek the reality, and do not be happy on mere epithets. How disgraceful it is that one is known to be from the Ummah, the followers of the magnificent Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet spends his life like kafir or disbelievers. Demonstrate the model of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your life, and generate the same condition. Be mindful that if you do not have the same condition, you are a follower of Satan. In short, it can be well understood that the objective of man's life is to become the beloved of God the Almighty. Because if one is not the beloved of Allah the Exalted and does not receive God's love, one cannot lead a successful life. And this cannot be attained until one truly obeys and follows the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who showed through his blessed model what Islam is. So instill that Islam in you, so that you become God's beloved. Islam does not forbid one from the bounties of the world. In fact, it instructs that whilst living in this world, one should give preference to their religion and faith over the world. Regarding this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, Islam does not allow monasticism. That is for the cowardly. No matter how extensively a believer is involved in the world, his involvement is a source of his higher spiritual status, because his real objective is the religion and faith. And the world and its wealth and pomp is a means to serve the faith and the religion. The main thing is that the world should not be his ultimate goal. Rather, the real aim of attaining worldly goals should be to serve the faith and the religion. And worldly goals should be attained in a way that they serve the faith. Just as when traveling, one makes use of the means of transport and takes some provisions with the aim to reach one's destination. The transport and provision is incidental, while the actual objective is to reach the other destination. One should seek the world in a similar manner as a means to serve the faith and the religion. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنِيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Our Lord grant us good in this world as well as good in the world to come. This teaching which God Almighty has given us that رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنِيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً also gives precedence to the world. But which world? It is the good in this world which will become a source of good in the hereafter. It has placed this world before so that all that is good in it can be attained and will eventually become a means for the good in the hereafter. The teaching in this prayer clearly demonstrates that a believer should be mindful of the good in the hereafter when seeking worldly goals. The term good in this world encompasses all the best means of seeking the world which a believer should adopt to attain his worldly goals. seek worldly goals by all such means which only result in good, and not such means which are a source of pain for another human being, or a source of embarrassment for anyone. Attainment of such a world will doubtlessly be a source of attaining good in the hereafter. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that one should attain the world in a way that one does not cause pain to others or become a source of embarrassment for them. Such a world will become a means of attaining good in the hereafter, and God Almighty has expressed his like for such a world. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wa salam, on whom be peace, then says, "It should be understood as to what is meant by hell. One hell is that which Allah the Exalted has promised after death, and the other is in this life. If it is not for God the Almighty, then this becomes a hell. That means that if this world is devoid of good, then it becomes a hell." The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, continues, "Allah the Exalted does not look out to remove the pain of such a person or bring him comfort. Do not imagine that apparent wealth or power, property and respect, or having many children becomes a source of pleasure, contentment or tranquility for someone, and he is in paradise by virtue of these. That is, that the world becomes a heaven. Most certainly not. The satisfaction, contentment and tranquility which are rewards of paradise cannot be found in these things. They can only be attained by living and dying for God. For this, the prophets of God, peace be upon them, in particular Abraham and Jacob, advised, 'Let not death overtake you except when you are in a state of submission. The pleasures of this world create impure greed, which heightens craving and thirst.' That is, the pleasures of this world only create greed, and leaves one thirsty, just like the one who suffers from thirst due to an illness. Just like the case of one suffering from excessive thirst, and continues till such a time that one perishes. The fire of unnecessary desires and longing is like the fire of hell, which does not let man's heart find comfort. On the contrary, it keeps one writhing and squirming in doubt and anxiety. Therefore, this aspect should not at all remain concealed from my friends, that is, Ahmadis, that man should not be so crazed and self-absorbed in the passion and intoxication of his love for wealth and property or family, that it creates a distance between him and God the Almighty. In other words, a distance is created and the connection with God the Almighty ceases to exist. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then says, "It has dawned upon my heart that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Maliki Yawmideen, proves that man should inculcate these attributes. Allah the Exalted is alone deserving of all these attributes, who is Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds. He is in all stages, in the sperm, in the embryo, etc., in short, in every stage, in every world. Then he is Rahman and Rahim, and Maliki Yawmiddin. When man says, 'Iyaka na'budu,' 'Thee alone do we worship,' he should adopt in a reflective manner the qualities of Rububiyat, that is, the divine quality to nurture and sustain. Then it is Rahmaniyat, the divine quality of being gracious, Rahimiyat, the divine quality of being merciful, and Malakiyat, the divine quality of being the master. One should try and inculcate these attributes within him. The height of excellence in man is to imbibe in the colors of Allah, and not to tire until he reaches this station. Following this, an attraction and pull is instilled in man, which takes him towards the worship of God. So when these attributes are inculcated, then one's attention will turn towards the worship of God, and that becomes the objective of his life, and he enters into a state of those who do what they are commanded." one cannot trust this life. Therefore, one should always keep death in view. Only then can one adhere to the commandments of God the Almighty and also inculcate His attributes. So regarding this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, who is to know if he will survive from the time between Zuhr and Asr prayers? It happens at times that one's body suddenly ceases to function and passes away. Sometimes, seemingly healthy people die suddenly. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, relating an incident, said, Vizier Muhammad Hassan Khan Sahib had come from a walk and happily went upstairs. He had gone up one or two steps that he felt dizzy, so he sat down. His attendant offered help, but he declined. He climbed a few more steps and again felt dizzy and passed away. Similarly, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, a member of the Council of Kashmir, Ghulam Mohiyuddin, died suddenly. Thus, we do not know when death will come upon us. That is why it is important not to be complacent about it. Empathy with faith and religion is a significant matter which honors one in the throes of death. It is stated in the Holy Quran that surely the quaking at the appointed hour is a tremendous thing. Now we do not deny that the hour also signifies the day of judgment. However, here it means the throes of death, because it is a time of complete cutting off, and man is separated from all things he loved and was impressed with, and a kind of quaking overcomes him, as if deep within he is ensnared during the time of death. Therefore, it is in man's benefit to be mindful of death, that when the time of death approaches near, and one is in the throes of death or in any other state, then this is the most important thing and must always be kept in mind. Therefore, it is in man's benefit to be mindful of death, and the world and its material objects should not be so dear to him so as to cause him difficulties at the time of parting. When one is mindful of this, then one will strive to do good. Also, one will not waste money or time on such spectacles, nor will one waste these resources in order to fulfill unnecessary desires. Then, regarding bringing about a pure change, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, says, therefore, do not live without fear. Remain engrossed in istighfar, in seeking forgiveness from Allah the Almighty, remain engrossed in prayers, and instill a pure change. This is not the time for negligence. The soul gives false hope to man that your life will be long, but consider death to be at your doorstep. God's being is the truth. The one who wrongfully offers the rights of God to someone else will meet a disgraceful death. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, as it has been mentioned in the Surah Fatiha about the three groups of people, he will make you experience the delight of all three stages. Those who came last in this group were given precedence, that is, waladdaleen, those who have gone astray. Those who have gone astray is mentioned in the end of Surah Fatiha. However, whilst giving the example of Muslims here, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that they became amongst the first. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is giving the example that the condition of Islam was such that the reaction was catastrophic if someone renounced Islam. And at the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, more than 2 million converted to Christianity. They have become impure by leaving Islam themselves. And instead of realizing their own impurity, they curse at the pure and holy personage and speak ill against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, a model of those who have incurred the displeasure of Allah the Almighty is being illustrated through the plague. The plague is a calamity. It befalls those people who incur the displeasure of Allah the Almighty. In this day and age, there are storms, there are earthquakes, and there are various types of calamities. If one was to ponder over this, it becomes clear that all of this happens due to the displeasure of Allah the Almighty. And it is such things that cause a human being to return to Allah the Almighty again and make one realize that he should bow down in front of Allah the Almighty and save himself from the state of wrath. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says after this there is a group of an'amta alayhim, upon whom God has bestowed his blessings. It is a matter of principle, and it is an old practice of Allah the Almighty that when he addresses a nation and tells them not to do something, a group from that nation certainly disobeys God. When Allah the Almighty said in the Holy Quran, or even now, that do not commit such and such act, it means that people will commit that act. Allah the Almighty is giving a warning that although people will commit this act, do not fall to it yourself, because it would lead to his punishment. God says that tell me about a people who were instructed not to commit an act, and yet they refrained from violating this instruction. So that is that if a nation is instructed not to do something, they definitely go ahead and do it. God told the Jews not to pervert or interpolate the Torah, yet they did so. It was not, however, said regarding the Holy Quran that do not pervert it. Rather, it was said regarding the Holy Quran, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَلْنَا ذِكْرًا وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Verily, we ourselves have sent down this exhortation, and most surely we will be its guardian. Hence, pray continuously that God the Almighty makes you enter the group of those upon whom He bestowed His blessings. So there is a need for prayers and continuous prayers in order to enter the group of those upon whom God bestowed His blessings. Praying for 1 or 2 days will not suffice. Then, pure transformation and a feeling of worry about the hereafter can be developed through taqwa, through righteousness and the fear of Allah the Almighty. And righteousness causes a person to succeed in the hereafter. About this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, the righteous are given a manifestation of God, and they are under the protection and shade of God. But what is needed is that one is sincerely and purely righteous with no measure of satanic influence whatsoever. God does not like shirk associating partners with him, for if one has some measure of satanic influence, God Almighty deems it all to be from Satan. The pain and suffering experienced by the beloved ones of God comes to pass by divine will. Otherwise, the whole world joined together cannot give them the slightest amount of pain and distress, because these people are role models for the world. Therefore, it is imperative that they also demonstrate models of how to endure difficulties. Otherwise, Allah the Exalted states that He is not concerned about anything as much as He is by taking the life of one who is His friend. God Almighty does not want His friend to experience any pain, but they are given pain because of need and expediency. Therein lies their own good, because their high morals during times of suffering and hardship become apparent and manifest. Prophets and the friends of God do not experience pain in the manner where it is due to God's displeasure and chastisement. Rather, the prophets of God establish examples and models of courage and bravery. God the Almighty had no enmity with Islam, yet observe how the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was left all alone during the battle of Uhud. The secret behind this was to manifest the courage of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He stood alone in the face of 10,000 and considered that I am a messenger of God. No other prophet had the chance to demonstrate such a model. We say to our Jamaat, to our community, not to feel proud for merely offering the Salah, for merely keeping fast, or for merely avoiding the major sins like adultery or fornication, theft, and so on. Even most people from outside the Jamaat, the idolaters and others, share with you these very qualities. That is, many amongst the polytheists perform virtues and they do have good morals. The narrative of righteousness is exquisite and very subtle, so you should attain it. Inculcate the greatness and glory of God in your hearts. To those whose actions are smeared with even the slightest hint of hypocrisy, God throws their actions back on their faces and rejects those deeds. It is difficult to be a muttaqi, to be righteous. For example, if someone accuses you of stealing their pen, why do you get angry? So in other words, someone puts their pen in a certain place and accuses another person angrily of stealing it from that place. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, your temperance and restraint and avoiding anger is merely for the sake of God. Any anger felt in such an instance would be due to a lack of comprehension of the truth. In other words, one becomes angry because in that instance, they lose their connection with God the Almighty. One does not see God before them and does not seek God's pleasure. Hence, one becomes enraged at the smallest of matters. If one always remembers God, then he will never become furious. Man does not become righteous unless he has gone through many stages of a death-like state. Miracles and revelations are derivatives of righteousness, but the principal aspect is righteousness and the fear of Allah the Almighty. And Hazur says that is what you should always keep in mind. So the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, continues. Therefore, do not be too concerned with revelations and visions and dreams. Meaning, do not just become captivated by those who have seen what dream or vision and whether they were true or not. But what really matters is that someone possesses taqwa. Only the righteous have veracious revelations. And any revelations received without righteousness and the fear of Allah the Almighty are not reliable. They could have a measure of satanic influence. So do not appreciate anyone's righteousness by virtue of them receiving revelations. Rather, analyze his revelations based on the state of his righteousness. Hazur says, a person could relate numerous revelations and dreams, but it makes no difference whatsoever if they are devoid of the fear of God and righteousness, and if they usurp the rights of others and become infuriated at the smallest of matters. Satanic influence may be in them. So do not judge someone's piety by their revelations, but rather assess their revelations based on their righteousness. So the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, continues, close your eyes to everything else and first traverse the stages of righteousness. Uphold the examples of all the prophets of God. All of them came for the purpose of teaching the way of righteousness. The Holy Quran says its true guardians are only those who are righteous. So the Holy Quran teaches the fine and subtle ways of righteousness. Excellences of a perfect prophet requires people to also possess excellences. Since the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the Khatamun Nabiyyin, the seal of all the prophets, he was the pinnacle of the excellences of prophethood. His seal of prophethood was born of this epitomizing of the excellences of prophethood. Those who wish to please God Almighty and experience miracles and also extraordinary manifestations of God the Almighty need to also make their lives extraordinary. Those who sit exams work extremely hard and fall ill, like a sufferer of tuberculosis, and become frail in the grueling process. Thus, be prepared to endure every pain to get through the test of righteousness and the fear of Allah the Almighty. Taqwa is also a trial, and we must make efforts towards it. When man sets out on this path, Satan attacks him most strongly. However, a stage comes when ultimately Satan stops. This is the stage when man's base life undergoes a death, and he comes under the protection of God the Almighty. He becomes a manifestation of God, and is Khalifatullah. In summary, our teaching is that man should expend all his faculties and all his energies in the way and the path of God the Almighty. Then, advising us regarding taqwa, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, it is conditional for the righteous to spend their lives in meekness and humbleness, This is a branch of righteousness through which we have to battle unwarranted anger. For many highly devout and truthful people, shunning anger is the ultimate and most challenging stage. This means that one should not enter a fit of rage in response to the anger of another person towards them. Arrogance and pride is generated from anger, and at times, anger itself is generated from arrogance and pride. So one who is arrogant becomes angry at the pettiest of matters and issues, and the only reason this is born out of is because of their arrogance. Because one is angry when one gives preference to oneself over others. I do not want people of my Jamaat. He says, I do not want people of my Jamaat, my community, to consider others higher or lesser than themselves, or feel pride towards one another, or look down on them as inferiors. God alone knows who is honorable and who is lowly. This is a sort of derision based on contempt, and there is a danger in this contempt growing as a seed grows and causing the ruin and devastation of an individual. One who thinks himself as superior to others in any way means that he looks down upon others in disdain, and this mentality ruins a person completely. Some people are most courteous when they meet those who are important and influential, those who are rich and highly placed. But in fact, important is truly that person who listens to the meek with meekness. In other words, he listens very patiently and attentively to what poor or less privileged people say to him. So he meets the meek with meekness, is gratifying to him, respects what he says, and does not say something mocking to him which could be hurtful. Allah, the Exalted, states, "Do not slander your own people, nor taunt each other with nicknames. It is bad indeed to earn foul reputation after professing the faith, and those who repent are not the wrongdoers." So it says, do not call each other by taunting names. This is a practice of the wicked. One who taunts others will not die until he himself suffers in a similar way. Do not be contemptuous of your brothers. You drink from the same fountain, so who is to know in whose fate it is to drink more? No one attains respectability through worldly principles, and in the eyes of God the Almighty, one who is righteous is the most honorable. As is said in the Holy Quran, verily the most honorable among you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most righteous among you, and surely Allah is all-knowing and all-aware. Then advising his Jamaat further, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, expounds on the different aspects of taqwa and says, all the faculties granted by Allah the Exalted are not given to man to be wasted by him. In fact, they are developed through the right and proper use. That is, to use them fairly and in their appropriate place develops one's faculties and it generates further virtues. So the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace continues. This is why Islam does not teach us to excessively use our faculties beyond bounds, such as to stare inappropriately, rather to use them within the permitted bounds and to constantly purify oneself. That is, we have not been given eyes to look with them inappropriately. We have been given senses and faculties, but the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, explains, we should use them justly and we should reform and purify ourselves. So it is stated in the Holy Quran, surely success does come to the believers. And after illustrating the life of the righteous, it is stated in conclusion, and it is they who shall prosper. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is explaining the verse and says, that is, those who practice righteousness and believe in the unseen. They lose concentration in namaz or salat, but then they recover and refocus on their prayers. Many people say they cannot remain concentrated in their prayers, so they should re-establish the proper observance of their prayer after losing focus. And they spend out of which God has bestowed them. And in spite of possible personal hazards, they impulsively believe in the past and current books of God, and ultimately they reach the stage of certain belief. These are the people who are on the way of guidance. They are on a road which stretches right ahead, and which takes man to the station of phala, success and prosperity. These are the successful people who will reach their destination, and they have been delivered from the perils of the journey. This is why Allah the Exalted gives us the teaching of righteousness at the outset and granted us a book which carries commandments regarding righteousness. After explaining all of this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then says, "Thus, our Jamaat should be intensely concerned, and be more concerned than any other concern of the world, whether they have taqwa, righteousness and the fear of Allah or not." Then the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says at one place, "If you wish to attain success in this world and the next, and to win over hearts, then adopt purity. Use your sense and wisdom, and follow the instructions of the Word of God. Improve and develop yourself, and also be a good role model for others. Then alone will you succeed." How apt is this Persian couplet that whatever sprouts from one's heart is firmly rooted and has an impact. That is, a believer's words should come from his heart, and he should be the means of success to others, and this will also prove to be the means to his own success. Thus, develop your heart. If you wish to influence hearts, inculcate strength of practice, because without strength of practice, verbal strength or physical strength cannot avail anything. There are hundreds of thousands of verbose people. Many are called Molvi or Ulama, who stand on these pulpits, and having given themselves grand titles, they go on and deliver their sermons. They say, "Shun arrogance, pride, and foul deeds." However, ascertain what their own practice is and their own actions are by the fact as to how much their words actually even influence your heart. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, drawing attention to first acting upon what you preach, says, "Had such people have strength of practice, and had they practiced before they preached, what would have been the need to state in the Holy Quran that, 'Why do you say what you do not do?'" So this verse explains that there were people in this world who preached what they did not practice, as indeed there are such people now, and there will be such people in the future. So we must give heed to this if we want to follow the commands of the Holy Quran. Further, we must give special attention to the admonishment to first assess our own condition. The office bearers of the community should foremost adhere to this guidance, among whom are those who do counsel others, yet but completely contrary to what they are advocating, or make excuses in doing so, or are reluctant or hesitant. And thereby they give secondary importance to the commands of Allah the Almighty and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Several cases in this regard emerge. Further elucidating on one corroborating their words with their actions, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, "Listen to what I say and remember it thoroughly, that if man's words are not heartfelt and he has no strength of practice, his words will have no impact. this indeed is what proves the tremendous truthfulness of our noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the successful way he won over hearts and influenced them has no parallel in the entire history of mankind. And all this came to pass because there was complete conformity between the Holy Prophet's words and the Holy Prophet's actions or deeds. And we have been commanded to follow the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then, drawing attention to one more matter necessary for the well-educated members of the community, for parents and to youth acquiring higher education, the promised Messiah alaihi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, says, "Another great trouble that befalls well-educated people these days is that they have no awareness of religious knowledge. When they read criticism by a scientist or a philosopher, they develop doubts and misgivings about Islam. This leads them to Christianity or atheism. In such instances, their parents' role is also one of great cruelty and unfairness, in that they did not give them any time at all to obtain religious knowledge and involve them from the very outset in activities which thereby deprive them of the pure religion." Thus, parents must give attention to their children, and the children and the youth should also take the initiative to acquire religious education. With the grace of Allah the Almighty, there is such an abundance of Jamaat literature on the Quran and its commentary that if one were to read it, all misgivings, doubts and objections would be easily removed. Then, regarding mutual brotherhood, unity and affection, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, "I have spoken many times before on mutual love and accord in the Jamaat. Have mutual accord and stay united. Allah the Exalted gave the teaching to Muslims to stay as one, otherwise they would be diminished. The commandment to stand shoulder to shoulder during the Salat is to promote mutual unity, and so that goodwill can permeate like an electric current from one to another. If you have discord and lack unity, you will be unsuccessful and deprived of blessings, and you will not be able to fulfill your objectives." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "Love each other and pray for each other in secret." True affection requires that we pray for others regardless if you know them or not, and secondly, to pray for them without telling them. If a person prays for another in secret, angels wish the same for him and pray for him. How superb is this point? If man's prayer is not accepted, and then an angel certainly is. So I advise you, and I wish to say to you, not to have discord among one another. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, "I have brought only two issues. Firstly, adopt oneness of God, and secondly, show love and empathy for each other. Be such role models that work miracles even on others." This is a conviction that was created in the Sahaba, the companions. Remember, you were enemies, and he united your hearts in love, as is said in the Holy Quran. Remember, togetherness and unity is a miracle. Remember, unless each of you prefers for his brother what he likes for himself, he is not from my Jamaat. He is a tribulation and calamity. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, says, "Inshallah, God willing, a righteous and pure community will stem from me. What is the reason for mutual discord? It is malice, conceit, self-love, and emotions." So here the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says with great pain that those with rancor, selfishness, etc. And the promised Messiah continues, "I have said that I will remove all those from the community who cannot control their emotions and cannot live with accord and with unity." Those who are this way inclined should remember that they are but guests for a short while, and they will not last long unless they show good examples. I do not wish to experience any personal criticism owing to someone else. A person who is not according to my wishes, but is in my jamaat, is like a dry branch. What else can a gardener do but cut him off? A dried branch takes the water alongside a flourishing branch, but a gardener cannot make it green. In fact, it pulls other branches down with it. Thus be warned, one who does not correct himself will not stay with me. So those who are weak will not attain these blessings, will not benefit from the prayers the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, made for his community. So each one of us must go on assessing our personal conditions in this context. He then further states that God Almighty has said in the Holy Quran, وَيْجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِي كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, that this reassuring pledge has been made to the Son of Mary, born in Nazareth. That is, he will place those who follow thee victorious over those who disbelieve until the day of resurrection. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, although this promise was granted to Jesus, peace be upon him, son of Mary, but I give you glad tidings that God Almighty has also used the same words to refer to the son of Mary who was to come bearing the name of Jesus, the Messiah. He further writes, now ponder whether those individuals who by associating themselves with me become part of this grand promise and tiding, can they be such people who are in the state where their souls incite to evil and are resolute on a path of rebellion and disobedience? No, absolutely not. Those people who truly value the promise of God and do not dismiss my words as fables and stories, then remember this and listen open-heartedly as I say it once again. Whoever can associate themselves with me in a manner which is not just an ordinary connection, but is such an incredible union, the effects of which are not confined to me alone, but instead the effects of that connection reach that being who enable me to associate myself with that chosen, perfect man, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who brought with himself a spirit of truth and integrity. I even say that had the effects of this applied only to myself, I would not have worried a single bit nor taken any notice. But it does not stop at this. The effect reaches the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and even the grand status of God the Almighty. In this situation, more specifically in this case, you should pay heed and hearken. If you wish to take benefit from this glad tiding, and you have the desire in you to succeed, and you have a true thirst to achieve that great success, whereby you will be victorious over the disbelievers, then I say only this much, that this success cannot be achieved until one transcends the state of lawama, the reproving self, into the peak of mutma'inna, the soul at rest. I say this and nothing more, that you are the ones who have associated with the appointed one of God. Thus, listen to his words with an open heart and act upon them with all your might, lest you become like those who, after professing their faith, fall into the filth of disbelief, thereby earning them a ceaseless punishment. Furthermore, in regards to the acceptance of prayer, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, writes, it should be noted with an open heart that there are certain conditions for the acceptance of prayer, some of which are related to the one praying, and some to the one who requests for prayers. For the individual who requests for prayers, it is essential that he must always inculcate in himself the fear of God and humility for God, and be afraid of God's self-sufficiency. Worship of God and doing peaceful deeds should be his motto, and through righteousness and good virtue he should aim to please God. As a result of this door, the door of the acceptance of prayer shall be opened. If, on the other hand, he upsets God by lying and as a result goes to war with him, then his wickedness and evil deeds become a barrier and rock in the acceptance of prayer. They become an obstacle that shuts the door of acceptance for themselves. Thus, it is essential for our friends to prevent their prayers from going to waste and not to become an obstacle in the way of the acceptance of prayers, which may otherwise be caused by their audacious actions. The promised Messiah further states, they ought to walk on the path of righteousness or taqwa, for if the sharia was to be summarized in any way, it would be using taqwa. If anyone wants to explain briefly what the Sharia is, then the core of the Sharia can only be described as taqwa. However, should a seeker of the truth transcend the initial phases with steadfastness and sincerity, he will reach the ultimate stages due to his integrity and thirst for the truth. God the Almighty states, Allah accepts only from the righteous. This is His promise, and His promises can never be violated. There is no breaking His promise, as God the Almighty states. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ Allah breaks not His promise. Thus it proves that righteousness is an indivisible stipulation of the acceptance of prayer. So if an individual who is ignorant and misguided demands that his prayer should be accepted, is he not foolish and unwise? Therefore it is incumbent upon our community, for every person to walk on the path of taqwa to the best of their ability, so that they may find the delight and comfort in the acceptance of prayers, which will be a means of their faith to grow. Never should you think that God Almighty will be pleased by just performing the bet, the pledge of allegiance alone. That is just the periphery, whereas the nucleus is on the inside. In nature, it is often the case that there is a shell, and the core is on the inside. The shell itself has no value. The core is what is important. In certain cases, the core does not even remain, like a hollow egg of a chicken, which contains neither yolk nor egg white, and will therefore be discarded. It may become a toy of amusement for a child for a short while, but that is it. Similarly, the one who performs bet and claims to believe, if he does not inculcate these two core principles in himself, then he should be fearful that a time may come where he may become like that hollow egg, which upon a small injury will be shattered to pieces and thrown away. Therefore, every person who has performed the bet and claims to believe should assess themselves whether they are like the shell or the core. Until one becomes the core, his faith, obedience, bet, conviction, and his claim of practicing Islam are not truthful. Remember this, it is true that in the eyes of God Almighty, aside from the core, the shell holds no value. Take heed, for no one knows when death will approach, but it is an undeniable fact that death is inevitable. Thus, one should not settle for mere claims of belief alone, and never be content with that. It will never benefit you. Until a person accepts death upon himself in certain ways, and until he brings about changes in himself and goes through drastic changes, he can never achieve the true purpose of humanity. May God the Almighty enable us to shape our lives according to the wish of the promised Messiah, and may we progress towards virtue with each step. May we never become the ones to squander the prayers of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Instead, may we always become the recipients of those prayers he invoked on his community. With this prayer, I would like to wish you all a blessed new year. May God the Almighty make this year a blessed one for ourselves and for the Jamaat, the community as a whole.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله